Here's Claire Martin with Jazz Lineup.
I happened to be walking down Broadway one day and ran into Moody. And it turned out Dizzy was working at Birdland. And the pianist, Lalo Schifrin, was leaving. So Moody asked me, listen, Lalo's leaving. Would you be interested? Now, I'm 19 years old. Just got married. Not working. So I said, yes, I'm interested. You know, and I went up to Birdland to talk to Dizzy. And he hired me just on Moody's recommendation.
Legendary pianist Kenny Barron, and stay tuned for that interview later on in the show. Also coming up on the program, previously unbroadcast concert music from high energy jazz quartet Brass Jaw. Brass Jaw, and more from that set later on in the program. Let's start today with the atmospheric African jazz flavors of Julian Bahoula. Famous throughout the 60s and early 1970s in South Africa, percussionist Bahoula came to Britain to exile from his home in 1973 to begin all over again. A tireless promoter of the music of his homeland, his new release, Spirit of Malumbo, is a fine introduction to the music of this celebrated drummer and anti-apartheid activist. Let's enjoy Hita Sindi.
Thank you.
Julian Bahula with Haiti Cindy, and that release is out now on Strut Records, entitled Spirit of Malumbo, featuring Malumbo jazzmakers Jabula and Jazz Africa, 1966 to 1984. Well, since moving to the UK in the early 90s, Australian vocalist Trudy Kerr has rightly become one of our most prolific and respected members of the jazz scene. Quickly establishing herself as one of the country's most polished performers, Trudy has enjoyed much critical acclaim over the years, especially recently with her tribute to Chet Baker. She's just released a new best-of CD called Contemplation, and I've chosen a song you'll probably recognise as a John Coltrane instrumental. Trudy's put her own lyrics to Moment's Notice, and check this out for tricky vocalese.
Will someone out there understand? I'll wait for love to lend a hand, holding on to old romances, lost in time to memories of past. Love, sad loves, broken hearted love. Lady Luck smiles at notice, cast her magic spell in the rolling of a die. Fate deals her hand, the odds are good, your chance to gamble on love's side. Lightning strikes you at a moment's notice, true love can blind you in a blinking. There it's true to bring you happiness. Now's the time to take a look around and see if you can really find someone who'll stick around by your side. All kinds of weather, good times and the bad, he'll show you that he's the one to stay around and hold your hand. At a moment's notice, he could catch your eye as you were by across a crowded street. He'll make you smile, then he'll ask your name and plan a little rendezvous. It'll be for two, somewhere nice and quiet, where you'll while away the hours and look into each other's eyes and plan and dream of everything that love can bring to change your world. At just a moment's notice, true love can come to you. Please be prepared for what the future has in store. He could be dressed in a suit of shabby denims, a khaki shirt, or maybe Superman's in town. He wears a hat who has a turned up overcoat that makes him look a little bit mysterious. That man, your man, don't miss your big chance. Now or never, keep on looking out for Mr. Right to come and sweep you off your feet and lead you far astray. We'll be right back.
Trudy Kerr with her lyric to Moment's Notice, and that's taken from her new release on the Jazz Is It label called Contemplation, the very best of Trudy Kerr. A great introduction to Trudy's work if you haven't already heard her, and that CD is out now. Well, next up, a tune based on what was originally a Christmas hymn written in 1830 by Boston choirmaster Lowell Mason. Jack Cooper is an American composer, arranger and orchestrator, and leads the Jack Cooper Jazz Orchestra through the challenging experience of transforming the 20th century art songs of Charles Ives into a 21st century big band format. His project shows just how jazzy Charles Ives can get, and all the arrangements and playing on the CD called Mists are fresh, modern and world class. Let's hear Watchmen.
Thank you.
was Watchmen, taken from the CD Mists, and that celebrated the music of Charles Ives for Jazz Orchestra, featuring the Jack Cooper Big Band, and that recording is out now on the Planet Arts label. Although Park Stickney claims it wasn't his plan at the age of 10 to become a world-travelling jazz harpist, that's exactly what happened to the nonconformist New Yorker. His first recording was released back in 1999, but it's his second CD, Action Harp Playset, that I've just been introduced to by harpist N. Hudson. Brilliantly blending harp artistry and jazz musicianship, Park's playing is technically brilliant, but also playful and fun. Well, I'd never heard a harp in a jazz setting before, and I was curious to see what he made of the classic All Blues. Have a listen and see what you think.
Thank you.
Jazz Harp, played by Park Stickney there on Miles Davis's All Blues. And that's taken from his CD, Action Harp Playset, which is available now, and the whole album is a real treat. He's definitely got a new fan in me. The label is called Overdressed Late Guy. Park definitely has a good sense of humour too. And on that CD, he covers Van Morrison's Moondance, The Beatles' Come Together, and another Miles classic, So What? This is Jazz Line Up on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, on FM, online and on digital radio. Well, coming up next, I'm in conversation with piano legend Kenny Barron, who I caught up with during his visit to the UK this summer. Before we hear from him, let's hear him in action from a trio date recorded back in 1983 with Kenny, of course, on the piano. Ben Reilly is playing the drums and Buster Williams is on the bass. And they swing their way through Oscar Hammerstein and Sigmund Romberg softly as a morning sunrise. Thank you. Taken from the 1983 release Green Chimneys, that was Softly as in a Morning Sunrise, with Buster Williams on bass, Ben Riley on drums, and my special guest leading the trio from the piano, a man who has been described as the most lyrical piano player of our time. He is the great Kenny Barron. Well, you've got over 40 recordings and counting, and that CD, Green Chimneys, from 1983, was recorded about 20 years after you'd already made a name for yourself in New York, and you were playing with the likes of Roy Haynes, Lee Morgan, and James Moody.
Mm-hmm.
And famously, you were asked by Dizzy Gillespie in 1962 to join his band without him hearing you play a note.
That's true.
You have to tell me a bit more about that.
When I first came to New York, I lived on the Lower East Side. And close to where I lived was the original Five Spot. And I went there to hang out, and James Moody was working there. And he knew my older brother, who was a tenor saxophonist. So he said, come on up, play some, you know. And from that, Moody eventually rejoined Dizzy in a small group. And I happened to be walking down Broadway one day and ran into Moody. And it turned out Dizzy was working at Birdland. And the pianist, Lalo Schifrin, was leaving. So Moody asked me, listen, Lalo's leaving. Would you be interested? Now, I'm 19 years old. Just got married. Not working. So I said, yes, I'm interested. You know. And I went up to Birdland to talk to Dizzy, and he hired me just on Moody's recommendation.
So. Wow. Well, in that band, you developed an appreciation for Latin and Caribbean rhythms.
Right.
So did you purposely sort of go out and study some Latin pianists just to get that authenticity at that stage, or did you just sort of learn on the job? Or how did that come about?
I didn't go seek it out. Perhaps I should have. But it was more osmosis. You know, just listening to it, there was a great radio show in New York, just nothing but Latin music. You know, so I got a chance to listen to that. And then I started listening to Brazilian music, you know, so it all kind of came together.
But in the 70s, you worked with Yusuf Lateef, the multi-instrumentalist, and you credit him as being a real key influence on your improvisational art. Expand a bit more about that.
Well, he was influential in many ways, but in terms of playing... After I left Dizzy, I kind of felt the need to expand. And working with Yusuf allowed that to happen. He did a lot of experimental things, and which were new to me.
Plus, he was bringing so many different instruments to the stage.
Right.
That must have just influenced you, just the soundscape of him pulling out these instruments.
He played one instrument. I remember he used to do a song called Sister Mamie. He played an Indian instrument called the Shanai.
That's right. Yeah,
and it was just it was incredible.
He also had an effect on you in as far as he encouraged you to go back to study.
That's very true.
What did you think you needed to gain from that?
Well, I don't know, actually. You know, I think it was just seeing him and seeing his example, you know, and seeing him. He had gone to, later in life, he had gone to Amherst College and gotten his master's degree and doctor's degree. And seeing him do that, at the age that he was, it was very inspirational.
Mm.
And he was very much into educating yourself.
And did you manage to balance your touring schedule and studying? Were you good at that? Were you quite...
Oh, yeah, I was able to do it. Matter of fact, I remember I had a math class. Well, several classes, but my math class in particular, I told the teacher, listen, I'm going to be touring, you know. So I had the book, and I said, what material do you think we'd be covering? And she told me, and every day I was in the books while we were on the road. And when we came back, I was actually ahead of the class. So,
it's good.
Yeah.
But Kenny, you're much in demand for your incredible sensitivity and your ability to comp, especially perhaps in a duo setting. So let's hear something from one of your most successful and well-known collaborations, the Grammy-nominated recording with sax giant Stan Getz. Mm-hmm. The 2-CD, People Time. Did you get on with him before you decided to record? And whose idea was it to get together and do People Time?
Actually, it was, I don't know whose idea it was, but we were working with the quartet. But every night we would play this song duo called People Time. And somebody mentioned to him, you know, you guys should do a duo. So he thought about it, and he decided, yeah, it would be a good idea. So we didn't talk about music or anything, and he booked a concert in Boston, just as a kind of a trial thing. And when again, we no rehearsal, just, you know this song? Yes. You know that one? Yeah. Okay. And it was kind of nice because whatever was going to happen was going to happen, you know. And then 2 days after that, we left for Denmark and Copenhagen and recorded the three nights at the Montmartre.
Well, let's hear a track from People Time. And it's one of my favorite melodies by Eduardo Del Barrio. And it's the track I'm Okay.
Thank you.
From Stan Getz's last recording, People Time, with Kenny Barron on piano. That was I'm OK. And I'm talking to legendary pianist Kenny Barron on Jazz Lineup. Kenny, did you know how ill Stan Getz was when you recorded that? Did you notice a difference in his playing?
I did not until the very last night, actually, of that recording. And he mentioned that his stomach felt like it was on fire. And he couldn't finish the last set. You know, so as it turned out, we had actually had another night to do in Paris, and I wound up playing most of the night, and he would play the melodies, and he wouldn't even solo. That was actually the last time I saw him. I think that was in March, whatever year that was.
And he died 3 months later, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Did you feel the music grow every time you took the stage with him?
Oh, yeah, always. I mean, he was one of the most sensitive, lyrical, and that's the thing that I appreciated about him. He was so lyrical, and he could play a ballad and make you cry, you know.
When you comp for singers, for instance, is your approach different for every instrument? How do you approach things when you're going to comp?
Well, working with a singer, I think one of my primary concerns is not getting in the way. You know, that's the biggest thing, and trying to provide as much support as I possibly can. You know, working with a horn player, it may be a little bit different. It may be a little bit busier. It depends. You know, if the horn player is somebody who's really, really lyrical, then it's almost the same thing as working with a vocalist. You know, you try not to get in the way too much.
Overload. I told some pianist friends of mine that I was interviewing you, and they wanted to know about strategies to apply. I mean, I don't even know if this applies to you now, and it shouldn't do, but when you are playing different pianos all the time, and sometimes it may not be the piano of your dreams, how do you transcend that?
Well, I think probably you just have to try and play through it.
Yeah.
Because if you resist it, I mean, if you get all upset about it, then you're ruined for the night.
So you have to find something in its sound.
Yeah,
you have to find a way, something it's offering you.
Find a way to push through it.
Well, before we play a track from 2013, Kenny Barron and the Brazilian Knights. It's 50 years since your first Bossa Nova album, which is West Side Story Bossa Nova, with your brother's orchestra.
Wow, you
Bill
remember
Barron.
That?
Could you believe I remember that? It was recorded in Rio de Janeiro.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that. That must have added to the flavor of it.
Well, it was...
That was lucky.
Yeah, it was lucky. I happened to be there, not in Rio, but in a town called Rio de Sostros, at a jazz festival. And I have a friend, Jacques Miao, who runs a small label. And he said, listen, I've been trying to get you over here. So he called some Brazilian players, and my wife and I both, we went to Rio and spent a week. And we did this record, and it was great. They were great players. Many of them I'd heard of before or had heard in person. So it was really a great experience.
I mean, talking about the students that I don't know how many, I'm presuming there's dozens. And you think about the jazz scene as it is and going around, having these opportunities to play with musicians around the world. Are you optimistic there's a jazz scene for them to go into and make a living from?
I'm sure there will be. It'll just be different. From the jazz scene that was happening when I came up.
Yeah.
And it made me totally different because there were so many clubs to play and there were all these bands that were working. So, you know, a young person could have aspirations. Oh, maybe one day I could play with Cannonball.
Do you think that's not available now? I mean, people have to make their own careers.
And that's exactly right. They have to do it themselves, kind of, you know. And one thing it leads to, which is good and bad, is that people start recording much earlier, sometimes before they're really ready, you know. And
but do they have to do that to put something out to get the gig? I mean, it seems to me that nowadays you also have to be a marketing guru, social networking, media savvy. You've got to, as well as having all your chops together and all the songs together. It can't have been the same back in.
No, it wasn't the same.
The day.
You know, but they do have to do all of that. They do have to
it's
do
it. It's exhausting.
And it is exhausting. So how much time does that leave for actually playing and practicing?
Quite. Well, let's hear Kenny's magnificent chord voicings in a Brazilian setting and play Yaira. Kenny, thanks for coming and talking to us at Jazz Lineup.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Ya Era, taken from Kenny Barron and the Brazilian Nights. And what an honour to be speaking to one of the living legends of jazz. And you can hear Kenny at this year's EFG London Jazz Festival, where he plays in a duo setting with bassist Dave Holland. That's Kenny Barron and Dave Holland on Friday the 21st of November at 7:30 at London's South Bank Centre, and they're playing at the Queen Elizabeth Hall. And talking of gifted duos, to a brand new release now from bassist Steve Swallow and Austrian jazz musician, composer and conductor Christian Muthspiel. This is their first recording as a duo, and the concept behind the album is to try and seek to understand simplicity for what it really is. Muthspiel uses a whole range of instruments on the album, including piano, electric piano and even toy piano, but it's the trombone we hear him on now, an instrument he took up aged 11. This is a delicate piece called Pas de Deux Tranquille.
Thank you.
That was Steve Swallow on bass and Christian Muthspiel on trombone, taken from their brand new duo album called Simple Songs. And that's out now on the In and Out label. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, on FM, online and on digital radio. Well, we played a track from Chick Corea's brand new triple CD, Trilogy, a few weeks ago, but it's definitely worth sharing another track. So let's hear this stunning version of Thelonious Monk's classic Blue Monk, featuring a real dream team trio of Chick at the piano, Brian Blade on drums, and it opens with the bass playing of the wonderful Christian McBride.
Thank you.
What a swinging trio that is. The great pianist Chick Corea with Christian McBride on bass and Brian Blade on drums with Monk's Blue Monk, taken from his triple CD trilogy, which was recorded live from around the world as they made their multiple stops on their tour. You can really sense the trio's easy rapport with each other, and that CD trilogy is out now on the Concord Jazz label. Well, it's time now for our concert set. Our featured group was named Ensemble of the Year at last year's Scottish Jazz Awards. Brush Jaw are a unique Glasgow-based four-piece who bring a new and very original sound and direction to the world of jazz. Known for their energetic and charismatic live performances, they play without the safety net of a rhythm section and have been described by Jazz UK as funky, intelligent and riotously entertaining. Brush Jaw are Paul Toundreau on alto sax, Alan Beauvaison on baritone, Michael Owers on trombone, and Ryan Quigley on trumpet, and they played at the BBC's Pop-Up Village at Potterow as part of this year's Edinburgh Festival Fringe on the 18th of August. Here they are with their opening track, Felix Gets Ripped.
Thank you. Thank you.
Brass Jaw with Last October. Paul Townjoe on alto sax, Alain Beauvaison on baritone, Michael Owers on trombone, and Ryan Quigley on trumpet. And they played at the BBC's Pop-Up Village at Potterow as part of this year's Edinburgh Festival Fringe on the 18th of August. For more details on all the titles played on tonight's show and on Brass Jaw, check out the links on the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. Time now for something from a piano trio led by Swedish pianist Daniel Carlson. He's joined by drummer Fredrik Rundqvist and bassist Christian Lind, who keeps a nice bass line going throughout this piece, Cousin Cuisine, taken from their new release, Fusion for Fish.
Thank you.
taken from his release Fusion for Fish, that was Cousin Cuisine by the Daniel Carlson Trio. Well, that's almost the end of this week's Jazz Lineup, but there's plenty more jazz on BBC Radio 3 with Geoffrey Smith's Jazz tonight at midnight, and Jazz on 3 on Monday night with Jez Nelson. This week, Jez presents a studio session with the Sun Ra Orchestra, directed by Marshall Allen and featuring special guest Shebaka Hutchins. And on next week's Jazz Lineup, a preview of this year's London Jazz Festival, plus concert music featuring a set of arrangements by the Jerry Mulligan Concert Jazz Band, performed by British saxophonist Robert Fowler, recorded at this year's Scarborough Jazz Festival. But to sign off with tonight, a winner at the Montreux Jazz Solo Piano Competition from the album The Key, which is out now on ACT Records, this from Mauritian pianist Jerry Leonide, taking us on a musical trip with his track Mauritius. Until next time, from me, Claire Martin, bye-bye.
This week's Jazz Lineup was presented by Claire Martin and produced by Sushil Dade.